Thank the Lord for this privilege to be here with you today and for everyone who can be here. Thank the Lord for this beautiful place that you have and what the Lord has made available to us to be with you and to worship together in this tabernacle. I really appreciate the mercies of the Lord, and I realize we've had some competition with the elements, with the rain. And I trust that that won't be a real hindrance to us this morning. But on my way up here, I felt like the Lord visited me with some things that I want to share with you today. I trust that it'll be a blessing to our souls and a challenge to us. I believe that when God created this world, He created a beautiful, perfect world. I don't know how long it took for Adam and Eve to make their decision to transgress in the garden. I don't know how long that was. As I read the scriptures and look at it, it seems as though it didn't take very long for the tempter to come along and offer an alternative. Now, whether that was just a few days or whether it was a long span of time, I can't say. I don't know. But I know that my personal experience is that any time that I try to do anything good or any time that I'm trying to do right, there is an opposing force always there. He's always there to try to deter me or cause me to make an errant decision. Or cause me to at least give whisperings in my ear to try to cause me to question or doubt or present an alternative. I find it to be that way. I want to say, and I hope you'll understand these words, I'm glad God gave me the ability to make a choice. I'm glad that He gave me and respects my ability to choose one way or the other. Because when I exercise my choice, and it has been my desire to do right things, I haven't always known what the right things were to do. But one phrase of the song that the young people just sang, "Lord, be patient with me when I make my mistakes." I've made a plenty. And I've needed the Lord to be with me when I make those mistakes. And I have, thank the Lord, experienced the fruition of whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And I'm glad for that. But I'm glad that He gave you and me the ability to make a choice. I'm glad He put that in us. Because when I make the decision that I want to serve Him, it's not just a willy-nilly decision. It's not something that He has forced me to do. It is of my own choice, my own volition. I make those kinds of decisions. And I'm thankful that when God did create man, He made him perfect. Thank you, brother. His crown jewel. This morning, as I was musing about Father's Day, I was thinking of the blessing that it is and the responsibility it carries. And if you'll give me a little bit of latitude here, just something to ponder. I am a son. I have a father. I have a son. Any father in here today, anyone who is a father, that word means that you have fathered a child. You have fathered a child. You have offspring. If you are a father, then you understand what it means to be a father. You would like for your children to follow wise counsel. As a father and as a son, I've experienced, and as being a father, I think I can understand a little bit of what it means to have a triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Because those things that I have in my life, that I have learned, things that I have experienced, where I have learned when something hurts, when I have learned when something doesn't work right, what I have learned through experiences that certain things don't head the right direction and I need to back up and recalculate and move, I would like for my children to be able to have that same understanding. And if I could plant in their minds by an expression from my spirit, I would do that. My Heavenly Father gave His Son, and Jesus said that He would had to leave this world, but He would not leave us as orphans. He would send a Comforter, His Spirit, that would bring things to our remembrance, that would lead us into truth. If I could do that for my children just by projecting it to them, I would. So I kind of think, in a little way, that I know what it means a little bit more of the Father, Son, and His Holy Spirit. But you see, they have a choice. They choose whether or not they will do right things. They exercise their choice. And sometimes it's hard for me to step back and while they make their choices and decisions. In the book of Genesis, in the very first, I'd like to read a couple of scriptures here. Chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let us make man in our image. I have pondered over that so many times over the years. God made man in God's image. I believe that what God did when He created man, it wasn't just another creature. It was one that had the ability to make choice and decisions, something He was going to impart to him so that he could have it says He formed him of the dust of the ground. Everything that had been created to that point was good, very good. And now God is going to make the crown jewel of His creation, the one who is able to hear His voice, respond to His voice. I thought about that, how beautiful in the garden, when the scripture says that He came down in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? And I thought that way that God made that so that Adam could respond to Him, "Yes, Lord, I hear Your voice." Now, I believe that there were many times before the first account we have of communion between the two, that the Lord came down the cool of the day to visit them. Adam, "Oh yes, Father, it's our time to visit. What do you have to say?" And they had that communion with one another, and God loved it, and man loved it. And he enjoyed that for the time, whatever time there was before the transgression, that God loved it and man loved the communion back and forth with one another. And how beautiful it is for us to be able to enjoy that communion from our Father. When we escape to a quiet place, or when we're in a place maybe of distress and there's turmoil around us and we need something more to settle us, calm us, and help us to be still in that moment. And He can say these words, "Peace, be still. Just be still." Those are comforting things that we have from the Lord. So I believe that when God created this man in His likeness, God's likeness, in His image, God does not have a form, but if you will give me this liberty, the scripture tells me that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That God had, before ever there was a man created, God knew that He was putting in him the ability to choose, the ability to say yes and no, knowing that the potential was there for there to be error. God knew that. So God was not going to put a man here on this earth without making first a remedy for him if he chose wrong things. I thank God for that. The divine mind, to know that if I'm going to create this man and I'm going to give him the ability to make a decision one way or the other, if I'm going to make him that way, it would be unfair for me to make him with the ability to choose and not have a remedy for him if he made an error. Amen. If it had been Adam or Eve, it would have been me. Yeah. Because I needed and do today need a Redeemer. So I believe that when God created man in His image, He put that God saw that there was going to be the need of a Redeemer, and He chose to send a Redeemer to us. As the Scripture says, He took upon Him the form of a servant. He took upon Him flesh. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was flesh and divine, but He had a human form. When he was hanging on that cross, when he dismissed His spirit, I believe that His body turned very pale, just like any other human body would when life ceases. They took Him down. The Scripture says that soldier pierced His side, and out of that slit came blood and water. He had human form. I believe that when God created man, that He had already in His divine mind, I'm going to create this man after the image that I have already set up for the Redeemer that will be His. You give me that liberty. Jesus Christ, the human form, and God created you and me after a mind, a fashion that He already had designed and desired. And He put something in Him that was, yes, earthly, but also eternal as God is. I believe those are the things that God put into you and me in His own image, in His likeness, things not in human form, but in the eternal dwelling, the soul that will live forever, the spirit that will live throughout eternity, because God is eternal. And He wanted there to be something of that in the creation. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. He created man in the image of God, but He also created him in His own image. There is no other creature like the human being, Homo sapien, on the earth that can have the choice, the ability to function as we do. Thank God for what He did. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for the way that He put in us the ability to love, the ability to choose, our own volition, our choice, the power that is in that. I thank God for it. So I hope I've laid sufficient groundwork for my burden here. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. Very familiar passage. The prodigal son. The word prodigal is not in the Bible. It's a word used to define the actions of this young man. Prodigal means wasteful, careless, not thrifty, not giving real concern or interest in the things that should have value. That's what prodigal means. So this man had two sons. And they came to him. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. I say right there is a place where an earthly father, hearing the request of the son who comes to him, as I understand it, reading the commentaries, it was common Jewish law and Roman law for a man could come to his father at any time and request his portion of inheritance. And by law, his father had to produce that for him. And if the son acted recklessly, carelessly with it, then he was to be fined a certain amount of money. But if he was responsible with it, then it was his with no strings attached to it. I believe that's the case here that Jesus was mentioning. That this young man came to his father, and right here, I believe, whenever this young man came and said, "Father, I want my portion. I think it's time for me to have the part that belongs to me." We don't have all the words here, but if you'll give me this liberty, I believe that was a place where the father swallowed hard. And he probably recognized that there is, I've dreaded this day to come. I've dreaded this day to come. I had concern that it was coming. I had concern that he was going to approach me. And I have concern that he's not ready for this. But I've got to do it. I've got to follow through with his request. He's come now. He's presented himself to me. He is my son. Custom, law, all of this says that I must give to him what belongs to him. So, the scripture says that he came, presented his case, and his father looked on it, and he provided them, he gave them, divided unto them his living. The two, the younger and the older. I don't see here where the younger was given real property. He was probably given money or movable properties, things that he could take with him. The older apparently made the decision, "I'm going to stay here with the real property, with the estate. I'm going to stay here and work." You know, as we read down farther in the passage, that there was a little concern and hesitancy when the son came back, that the older was a little bit confused about things, a little disturbed in his mind about how it all turned out. But this younger son, as he comes to his father, he says, "Give me my portion." I say to us today, folks, every one of us come to that place in life where as we grow up in a home, as young children, we come up through the ranks and we begin the process of learning, of absorbing, of being taught. We hear things, we're presented with things, philosophies, ideas, opinions, judgments, decisions. We hear those things as they're presented to us. And we begin the process of formulating our own thoughts and mind about things. And there comes a time when that thing that God has put inside of me wakes up. It wakes up and I have to make my decision. I remember when that day came to me. I'm not talking about going to my father, earthly father, and saying, "Dad, I think it's time for you to pony up and give me what belongs to me." But I remember when, as I spoke about a little earlier, the opposer came and began to present an alternative idea to me. And when he did that, when he presented his alternative idea to me, I had the power at that point to make choice and decision. My father had to allow me to make that choice. Was I ready for it? No. Was I making an informed choice? Not fully. Was I ignorant of all the consequences that could come down the road? Yes. A certain man had two sons. And the younger came and said, "Father, give me the portion that belongs to me." In essence, folks, that's what I did, and that's what you do when you make a decision in life. I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to pursue the course that I want to chart out for myself. I don't go ask His permission, but He already gave me permission to do what I wanted to do. He gave that to me. He created me with that ability. So I say, I want my portion. My portion is going to be whatever I choose in life. Your portion is going to be whatever you choose in life. This prodigal son made a decision, give me the portion that belongs to me. Because I want to be on my own. Every young man, every young lady at some point in life wants to be on their own. And you should. It's the right thing. There should be a desire. I have noticed this, and I don't mean this to be comical, but in some ways it is. But I have seen this. I've lived in a home. I had a son and two daughters, and my wife. And there comes a time when one house is not big enough for two mature women. There comes a time when they have made choices and ideas and thoughts and things, and they know what they want, the way they want to do things, and they look at the way Mama does it, and I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. And same with the father and son. I don't want to do it that way. I see what he's doing, and I think I could improve on that. I could do it better. Maybe you could. But there comes a point where as human beings, we reach a place of we think is maturity. And I'm going to tell you, I thought that I really had it all together and was mature enough to make my own way at age 17. I turned 18 the week after we got married. I don't know all the feelings my mom and dad had about that. He never told me. I can imagine. "Dad, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me. It's time for me to make my own decisions here. It's time for me to step out. It's time for me to make some choices. It's time for me to make some moves." What I do remember is that he did what he could to help me be successful. And I believe that's the heart of every father, every parent in this room this afternoon, this morning, that we want to do, even if they're making wrong decisions, we still want to love them enough and help them if wherever we can. We don't want to help them to do wrong things, but I want to help them. I want them to be successful. I want them to be able to contribute to society. I want them to be able to be a part of the community, the fabric of the community in which they live. I want them to, when they walk into a place of business, they walk into a store, that people don't say, "Oh, no, here, I don't want that." I want them to be able to say, "Hey, we can do business with this man. We can do business with this woman." I want them to be able to do that. We want to try to impart those things to them. We can't just, by osmosis, instill those things. The Word of God we can teach, we can present, but there comes a time when we make our choices and our decisions, and we have to be able to move forward. So, this prodigal, wasteful, spendthrift, not frugal son says, "Give me the portion that belongs to me." And his father divided. You ever made wrong decisions? You ever made not just wrong decisions, bad decisions? I've made some bad decisions. This young man made a bad decision. I want us to remember But there came a time when this young man woke up to his situation and realized where he was. He spent everything he had. He lost all the things that his father had given to him. Everything that was presented to him that day, he went out, I got the world by the tail and I can take care of these things now. But he let his own ideas, he let his own philosophies, he let his own want-tos, his own desires take him down a road that led him to a path of destruction. I want to insert something here. Young people, this is a wonderful time for you to be in a camp meeting. I am so happy to see all of you here. It thrills me to see you be together and enjoy the time. It really does. You're making decisions here and for your future. You're making choices. You're making decisions of who you want to be with. You're choosing your circle of friends. I am smart enough and have lived long enough to figure out that whenever I was going to camp meetings, that there were circles of friends that didn't always have the best intentions. You can hitch up with that if you choose to. God will let you have your portion. You come to Him, you're not saying, Father, I want You to give me my portion and I'm going to do this. No, you just do it. We make those decisions. I did it. I didn't ask God for permission to go run with this crowd. I made the choice. But in essence, I was doing what this Scripture says with a certain man had two sons, give me the portion that belongs to me. And He granted that to me. And you are doing the same things. You're making choices and decisions of what you want to do, where you want to go, who you want to be with, the crowd you want to be with. You're making those kinds of decisions. And you are spending the capital of your soul every day when you make those decisions. You're spending that capital. Now, this story tells us that this young man found himself in a desperate and destitute situation. He didn't have anything to eat. He just, if I could just eat with the pigs, if I could just get in there, he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he's feeding the pigs, if I could just get in there and eat some with them. And then he said, wait a minute, I remember what I left. How many of my father's hired servants have plenty to eat, more than enough, and here I am. Look at me. I've spent all of my capital. I don't have anything left. I don't know if he'll take me back. I don't have anything. I made my choice. I said, give me my portion. And he gave me my portion, and I've spent it all. Many a soul has come to the place in life where they have spent the capital of their soul. They made their choice to move on. They made their choice to do what they wanted to do. They made their decision, I want my way. And I'm going to have my way. I will have my way. And I will, and I will, and I will. And you can. God won't stop you. But remember, that's prodigal. That's prodigal. You are spending up the capital of your never dying soul. And if you don't awake to the realization at some point that I need help, and the only hope for me, this young man said, I know what I've got to do. I'll go back. There's another parable that Jesus told. It says a certain man had two sons. And he said to one, son, go work in my vineyard. And the son said, I will. And he didn't. And the other one said, son, go work in my vineyard. He said, I will not. But after a while, he got to thinking about it. And his conscience smote him a little bit. And he did end up going and working in the vineyard. I'll tell you what God wants from you. If you have made the choice to spend the capital of your soul, if you have made the choice to be prodigal with the precious, precious gift that God has given to you, if you have chosen to waste it, if you have chosen to be unwise with it, the Lord wants you to wake up and say, I will. And do it. You made the choice, I will not. You said, I'm not going to. I will not work in your vineyard. I will not be a part of this. He wants you to come to the place where you say, you know what? Maybe it's best if I do. This young man said, he woke up down there in that place he was, and he realized that he was absolutely bankrupt in his soul. Bankrupt. I don't have anything left in me. Nothing. But I know what I'll do. I'll go back home. And I'll tell Daddy, Dad, I spent it all. I was wasteful. I wasted everything you gave me. I spent it up. I have absolutely nothing that I can come back to you with. But if you'll just let me be one of your hired servants, I'll sleep out there. I don't have to sleep under your roof. If I can just sleep out there, if I could just be a hired servant, that's what I've got to do. So I did. I went back home to Dad. He did. Dad, no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be as one of your servants. What did the father do? Oh, look! Look! The one that came to me and said, Dad, give me my portion. Oh, my heart ached that day. My heart ached. I believe that the heart of God aches every time one of His crown jewels, creation, comes to Him and says, I'm taking my portion. I'm going my way. I'm going to start spending. And He has to let Him go. Because His heart of love, He gave you the choice. He made a remedy. He made a remedy for errant choices. This father, when his son came back and said, he gave him his pitch. He said, oh, I see him coming. I'm going to put my ring on his finger. I don't want him to be a servant. I don't want him just to be a hired servant. I want him to know that I still love him as a son. And I'm going to give him recognition as one of my sons. He's going to be recognized. I don't know all the technical things they had to work out with the estate. I don't know all of those things. He spent the part he had, folks. Let's remember this. Let's remember that there are laws that you and I cannot change. We cannot change. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember this. That scripture, that passage, be not deceived, God is not mocked. It means this. That a man, in the face of God, can stand there, be not deceived, God is not mocked. It's as though you and me, human beings, pitiful human beings, throw our nose in the air to God. What does it matter to me? What does it matter to me that you've given me this never-dying soul? I'll spend it how I want. Be not deceived. He will not be mocked. We can put forth that attitude. We can put forth that expression, but He will not be mocked. He will not be. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe as much as the Father loved this son that came back, there were still consequences. But He received him. He brought him back into His house, put a robe on him, put the family ring on his finger. That meant something, folks. That wasn't just some flashy piece of jewelry. That ring was a signet. That ring was something that says, I can stamp you, son. I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you really, it hurt me when you did that, but you come back. So now I'm going to restore to you the Father's name. And this ring, the ring that I stamp seals with to do business with, you have one too. I have one, you have one, your brother has one. Folks, the Lord wants to do everything that could possibly be done to restore us. He wants us to be restored. He made a way where we could have redemption. He made a Savior. Thank God we have a Savior. Thank God that when I, as Brother Ivan mentioned last night, that when he came down to the altar of the Lord there in 1979 in Monarch, he brought a pile of rubble, ashes. It wasn't anything. There was no value to it. I have to say the same thing. There was no value to what I brought before the Lord. The truth of the matter is, the best person in here who had done very little or almost no sin, you had something inside of you that had the ability to follow through with the most heinous of sins, that seed. When we come to the Lord, we have nothing of value to offer Him. But He is willing to give us salvation through the offering of His Son, Jesus. So, when this man spent all his capital, he said, I got to go back home. Let's remember today that we're spending capital. Remember today. As you make your choices and your decisions in life, as you wake up, I've said to the folks at home, when we're young, we're hungry for knowledge. There are things that start to wake up inside the human mind, the human body. And as human beings, we begin the process of gaining and attaining knowledge and information. And hungry for more and more and more and more and more. We may not say that we're actually hungry for that, but it's something in us. We want more. And then, after we acquire that knowledge, many times we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what we're going to do with that knowledge that we have acquired. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. What I find amazing is those things that are good can so easily be supplanted by the things that are bad. What I find is the human mind that God gave to mankind to be able to think, reason, process, you know as well as I do, that there are things stored in that human mind that you just cannot erase. Things you have seen, things you have heard, things you have said, things you have done, they're there. They're there. And they have a way of coming back. I tell you, folks, be careful. Be careful how you spend your capital. You can put forth an investment in your capital of your soul that can be a real good return for you. Or you can spend your life wasting it. Just a little personal account here. When I was a boy, I remember going out to my dad's shop, and he had, it seemed like there was all kinds of equipment out there. There was lawnmowers, tillers, tractors, balers, cutters, all those kinds of things. And I would watch him work on things and pay attention to what he was doing. And came time that he started handing off some of the little small jobs that I could do, handing those things off to me. And as I began to get a little older, more mature, handing off other jobs to me, and to where, when he was away, he would send a phone call, say, "Hey, I want Michael to hook up the cutter and go ahead and cut the hay. Go ahead and lay the hay down." And I'd go out there and do the best I knew to do with it, what I'd seen him do, and I'd go out there and I'd do my best to lay the hay down. And I found that came a real benefit to me. I learned how to do things. I learned how to work on engines and motors and fix and repair and weld and cut and grind and things of that nature. And he was one that I could ask questions about, and he could tell me what to do and how to do. And there came that time whenever I went out on my own, and I started pursuing my course and my places in life. And I remember, after I'd been married for a while and taken a couple of jobs, it's been so many years ago and I've lost so much of the knowledge of it. Things have changed so drastically. But I used to turn wrenches for a living. I used to do mechanic work. And I remember applying those things that I had been taught, or applying those things that I had seen. Even if he hadn't just taught those things to me, by watching and observing, applying those things. And I remember the work I was doing and learning, and I was in a learning curve myself. And I remember the first time that he asked my advice about a mechanical job. And I thought at that moment, wait a minute. These roles have just been reversed. These roles have just been reversed. My dad's 80 years old now. Just recently he had a problem with a vehicle. Asked me about it. I thought, well, I'm not real sure what to do about that. I said, but I got an idea of what to try. So I went over there with him, and oil pump had lost prime on the truck. Oil line broke and lost all the oil in the engine, and he couldn't get it to pick up oil pressure. I said, take off the oil filter. Let's take off the oil filter and see if there's anything in the oil filter. There was no oil in the filter, a little bit. I said, look, let's fill the oil filter up with oil. Let's spin this engine over. See if we can get oil coming out of the filter tube. Spun it over a little bit. Oil comes out of the filter. Let's put the filter back on now. Took the line loose to the turbo to see if there's oil coming up top. Got oil coming out of the top. I said, I believe we're ready to go. Screwed it back down, cranked the engine up. Oil pressure's good, sounds good. It's not thundering down the bottom end. It all sounds real good. He said, oh, thank you, son, and thank the Lord. I want to tell you something. You see, you and I can spend our capital any way we want to spend it. We can waste it and throw it all away. You can do whatever you want to with it. God's not going to stop you. He's going to try to put things in your life to keep you from wasting it. But He's not going to stop you. He gives you that choice. But I can assure you this. If you will allow God to be a vital component of your life, and you will spend your capital of your soul with the Lord, even when you don't do it right, even when you make a blunder, even when you make a mistake, even when you've done something that's caused hurt or damage, if you have said and shown by your practices of your life that you want to spend the capital of your soul with the Lord, He has a way to make those things restorable. He can make those things restorable for you and for me. I'll tell you, folks, we serve a loving God, an all-wise God, one that has all power. Jesus said before He went back to the Father, He said, "All power is given to Me in heaven and in earth." He's the one that was on the boat with the disciples, and there was a great storm raging, and He said, "Peace be still." And I don't believe that it took a while for things to settle out. I believe it was still. So much so that the disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that the winds and the waves obey His voice?" He wants to be an integral part of your life. Can I encourage you this day, if you find yourself in that valley of decision, can I encourage you to spend your capital of your soul with the Lord? Can I encourage you this day that if you have made unwise decisions and have been spending your capital foolishly, not being wise with it, wasting it, if you have been doing that, can I encourage you today to find a place of prayer with the Lord and help, let Him help you be restored? This is Father's Day. Our earthly fathers have done what they could for us after their own understanding, their own knowledge, their own ideas. They've chastened us after their own pleasure, the ways that they felt was best, thought was best. And they have made mistakes. I have made so many mistakes in rearing my own children. Made so many mistakes. But there is one, our Heavenly Father, who makes absolutely zero mistakes working with you in your life. May I encourage you this day to give it to Him. Please pray for me. Amen.